If these are the last days, then why do anything at all? If the days of chaos are upon us, if all hell is going to break loose, if globalism will rise and the Antichrist will be here, then why do anything? If everything is so evil, everything is crumbling, the government, the economics, the environment, if even it seems like religion, well, not only the counterfeit side of things, the absolute manifested sequence of satanic evolution, well, the rise of what the dark side is doing, it all points to the last days. If you've been listening to the talk shows, reading the books, and, well, taking a look at the world that we live in, then you, like billions of people, will feel that it's in the air, that all hell is going to break loose, if you've listened to even the technology of Webbot. The chaos is coming. Catastrophic collapse. Maybe there are those that are looking to 2012. You know what? Last night I watched another documentary on 2012 and all that they say that it means and all that they say that it does. Let me give you a quick word about 2012. All of what it predicts, all of what it says it may or may not occur, I give no stock to any of it. The reason is the prophecies of the Mayans flowed from the demons and the demon gods that shed the blood of thousands and thousands and thousands of human beings in the most horrific way. Why would I want to listen to occult-inspired, demonically-inspired prophecy, no matter how, quote, amazing it may be? It's not amazing to me. What's amazing to me is the 300 prophecies from the Old Testament to the New that speak about the coming of God in human flesh. The virgin that would be with child, Bethlehem, even about Judas who would betray him for even 30 pieces of silver. When I read the New Testament, which one-third of all of it is prophecy about the future, given by the infinite, uncreated Spirit of God, I see that the Spirit of God shows us what God is going to do. The Spirit of God shows us, and only He shows us, what the enemy is going to be doing in every way. And then shows us the results or responses and activities of humanity. I believe God gives us prophetic revelation to inspire us, warn us, alert us, prepare us, and leave the believer in Christ at the cutting edge of knowing and of then doing. If these are the last days, then why do anything? If all hell's going to break loose, if the Antichrist is going to rise, and then eventually Christ's going to come, why do anything? Why not just hide out in my basement, wait, watch, listen to the radio, and let it all go by? Let me take a few moments to say, this is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. As you'll see on our site now that we're going to say, if you're interested in these MP3s and you want to help out, go to ShatterTheDarkness.net, look where it talks about the archives, and click on how you can help this work. Now we're going to see over 1,600,000 downloads of these type of MP3s all over, well, the world, up to 80 countries. On the live radio that we've been given, we are now funding. So without commercial, without products, if you want to help, you can. ShatterTheDarkness.net. Here's a simple message specifically to believers in Christ. Let me clearly say that these are the last days. How do you know that? How do you know it's the last days? How do we know it's not just again like it was in the year, you know, 10,000 in the year 1920, 1999. Well, listen, number one, 1 John chapter 2, this is how we know, K-N-O-W, gnosko, experientially clearly know, this is how we know that it is the last hour, that many antichrists are out there, and the antichrist is to come. Very clearly from the time of the coming of Christ, his death, resurrection, ascension, his empowering of the body of Christ, and unleashing the body of Christ, not too many years later, the Spirit of God guides and records and speaks living words to us right now, 1 John chapter 2, this is how we know that it is the last hour. If you've ever worked anywhere, maybe a 9 to 5, by the time it gets to 4 o'clock in the afternoon, people begin to look at the clock because they know that between 4 and 5 o'clock, it's the last hour. God says, on the scale of human history, this is the last hour. I would say keep your eyes on the events, keep your eyes on the Savior, keep your eyes on the mission. We know that it is the last hour, clearly. You can read in James that the coming of the Lord standing at the door, that our redemption is nearer now than it was, you know, 100 years ago, 50 years ago, 10 years ago, of course. But let's go over some of the other signs of how close we really are. Predicted in Scripture, and when Jesus spoke about the last days in Matthew 24, number one issue is watch out for deception. Number one, concerning the last days, watch out for deception. Because of the onslaught of a counterfeit spiritual system that as Jesus went out to create the wheat, the transformed, born-again believers, those who have come to believe him. Well, behind him, during the night, the evil one comes to create the tares. So a counterfeit system will rise in, well, counterfeit to Christ, the body of Christ, all that Christ is, all that Christ is going to do, all that he's doing in the world. And so there is not only the presence of the enemy, not only the nature, the lethal nature of the enemy, but most Christians don't understand the agenda, the progressive, ongoing, evolutionary agenda of the dark side. And we are at the point of, I believe, unprecedented manifested presence. As a matter of fact, I believe, point number three now, the book of Daniel, the book of Matthew in chapter 24, first and specifically 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 John 2, the book of Revelation. I believe together there is a systematic, a large picture. And that the closer we get to the very, very, very end of days, in this last hour that we are living in, maybe we are at the 50-minute mark, only 10 minutes left, 10 years left. I don't have the date or the time. I do know that in reading Daniel, Matthew 24, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 John, Jude even, and the book of Revelation, and other parts of the prophetic revelation God has given. And by the way, let me quickly say this. Romans 16:25 declares one of the major purposes of prophetic writings. When you study the prophetic writings of Scripture, out of Daniel, out of Matthew, out of Isaiah, out of Ezekiel, out of Thessalonians 1 and 2, out of Revelation. You are reading, what God gives infallibly with the only real accuracy. You're reading the words of God and incredible, astounding, predictive material. And according to Romans chapter 16, verse 25, 26, 27, one of the main reasons for the prophetic writings involves the command of the eternal God, the work of redemption, in that all nations would believe in the living Christ, turn to God, and obey him. You've got to understand the mission of God in the context of prophetic writings. Prophetic writings are not there just so that we can be tantalized and moved to hide in a basement. That would be an absolute anomaly, the contrary to what it should do. Prophetic writings should move us under the command of God, the Lordship of Christ, into the greatest mission, the redemption. Bigger and broader than the satanic agenda, bigger and broader than the chaos, bigger and broader than Antichrist, bigger and broader than the nations collapsing and chaos coming and economics breaking down and environmental things developing. Bigger and broader than all of that is this intense mission of God, the number one thing that God is focused on, the number one thing that God is doing. All of heaven rejoices when one individual repents and believes in Christ. And God's will for nations, repent, believe in Christ, obey him. God's will reached the entire world. In the context of prophetic writings, God's mission should be at the forefront. Prophetic writings should motivate us to finish the mission of God. If we find out that we are close, maybe if we knew 5 years, 6 years, 2 years away from the chaos, the hell on earth that will break loose, and the rise of the Antichrist, and the last 7 years of human history, the worst, then we should all the more evangelize, become the greatest soul-winning witness for Christ as possible, and the most powerful prayer warrior that we can possibly be. So point number three, in the study of Daniel, Matthew 24, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and 1 John, and Jude, and all the rest, Revelation, all of it. Motivation, purity of life. Motivation, awestruck by God's infallible, accurate, pinpoint ability. His omniscience, his omnipresence, his omnipotence. Number four. We know that we're very, very close because the predictions all focus on, and again, 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit, God the infinite, uncreated, eternal Holy Spirit, expressly says that in the very last of the last days, a massive, larger, broader, unprecedented manifestation of planos, seducing imposter spirits, will be operative, moving people away from Christianity and giving them a deeper, broader counterfeit, the New Age movement itself, the largest occultic or spiritually alternative movement in the history of Christianity is here, along with thousands of cults and groups and deeper Luciferic operative, well, secret societies and underground process. The real Luciferians. It's all here. It's among us now. It is global now. And so what I would say is in 2 Thessalonians 2, that according to the work, the supernatural operative work of Satan and the coming of the lawless one, there is to be the apocalypse anthropos anamos. That is, eventually the unveiling visibly to the world of the man of lawlessness. Now, that means he will already be here for many, many years, which means this deep work of Satan in the birth of Antichrist, development, the regime, all of the underground stuff has to be here. My opinion would be that Antichrist is alive, that the underground regime laced in supernatural, dark, empowered secret, secrecy. Is ready to break loose, but the restraint that God has placed holds it back. God's one sovereign finger. And the only reason God works in a way that we think is a delay or slowness, 2 Peter chapter 3 is all about prophecy. And the reason it may seem like God is slow, and he's not, the patience of God means salvation. One of the reasons why the restrainer has not been removed is because of the mission of God. If we do not understand that the main mission of God, the expressed will of God, the power of God, the Savior of God, Christ, the work of God, the angels of God, the Spirit of God, the Word of God, all point to one thing. Go to the highways and byways and compel them to come in. Preach the gospel to every creature. Christ will be with us to the very end of the age. Go to all the world, every tribe, every language, every people group, everyone in your neighborhood, everyone in your family group, everyone in your city, everyone in your nation, even your nation, by the prophetic writings and the eternal command of God, according to Romans 16, 25 and 26, is about salvation. It is about redemption. The only reason Christ has not returned, he even said it in the Gospels, that he would not visibly return until the gospel, this unequaled, unprecedented power and grace and mercy of God, there is nothing higher, would be preached, unleashed to every human being globally. Though we have reached every continent, most every nation, the truth is in missions, we haven't reached every people group and every tribe. Heck, I would say that most listening right now, you realize that your neighborhood is mostly not reached. The universities, the schools. See, the problem with so much information about the hellish chaos, chaotic stuff, collapse, calamities, oil spills, volcanoes, tsunamis, 9-11s, Katrinas, between the saber-rattling and the Iran agenda, the Israel that's defending itself, Russia's growth and development, China's goal of world conquest now, and Europe, the belly of the beast, and globalism, its rise. Well, all of that points to, especially at globalism's surfacing and literally manifesting its ideology and political ideology and teaching and law and military endeavor and conquest. Well, we know it's very, very close. Very, very close. And with all this hellishness, have we lost sight of Christ? Have we lost sight of this Savior? The angels haven't. And I believe that those under the lordship of Jesus Christ, yielded to the Spirit of God, filled and packed, motivated, compelled by the love and compassion of God, those willing to go anywhere, risk their lives even, to reach others for Jesus. There is no greater ministry. There is no more empowered ministry. It's where the Holy Spirit's at. It's where signs and wonders are. It's where the healing and deliverances are unleashed the most. It is where Jesus is operative all around. I mean, listen, Mark 16:15. The disciples went out everywhere, the Greek word evangelizing, sharing Jesus, soul winning. And the Lord worked with them, supernaturally operative with them, and he confirmed his word, that gospel, by the signs, the powers, and so forth. That is what is going on right now. So let me tell you that right now, don't lose sight of the authority, sovereignty, power of God, and that all prophetic revelation, prophetic writing should focus us not only revealing the enemy's work and letting us have a heads up, that cutting edge heads up should be all the more motivation to do the greatest thing possible, winning souls. More important, though, listen, stocking of food is an important thing. I think it's important. Having things prepared for the end of days, I think it's important. Having it so that you can use it for ministry is really the Christian thing and what Christ would do. We're not to be hoarders and save ourselves. That is absolutely contrary. What would it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul? And if you go out to save only yourself, you lose your soul. You lose yourself. But if you lose yourself for the gospel, for Christ, you find it. So all that we do in the preparation, I don't care if you have a warehouse stacked with preparations that would last years in the worst of the worst. I don't care if you have a bunker. But if it's not used to propel the redemptive mission of God, then I say, what good is it? What good is it in heaven's sight? You think the Spirit of God is going to just sit there in a warehouse where no redemption is planned for? You think the Spirit of God is going to just wait as you hide in a hole with no consideration for those who are lost and dying and going to hell? Is there no one with the authority of Christ that will trample the dark powers and overcome all the power of the enemy? Is there no one that will fiercely pray like they did in the book of Acts? Is there no one that will be out of the field even when a Saul of Tarsus is breathing out murderous threats and killing Stephens? Is there no Philip that would, instead of hiding, unleash the kingdom of Christ everywhere possibly that he can go and be very, he's running. And in that believer, Philip, in that active, obedient, unstoppable, indefeatable believer, comes the power of the Spirit of God, the living presence of Christ, the saving of individuals, the boldness to go into a demonized, occult, captured city, Samaria, and then preach the gospel. People get saved, healed, demons get kicked out, joy is brought into the city. The Spirit of God guides him. Angels tell him where to go to evangelize. And a supernatural, literally translocation. Philip was, by the power of God, instantly moved from one place to another. I think because he was an unstoppable, obedient, aggressive, in the sense of compelled love, the Lordship of Christ, he was doing it. So when we talk about the last days, you think in terms of Philip, Acts 8, and what was going on. He was living. He was living in the context of threats, murderous threats, breathing down the back of his neck. But he did ministry. And God was all over the place, backing him with every ounce of heaven's graces. There was nothing higher. Amazing. Your life. Let me tell you why I think it is the last days, and I think that all hell, chaos, is coming. I believe the next big, the events of the four horsemen, the white being the birth, rise, development, and eventual apocalypse of Antichrist. I believe if he's out there, then it has been unleashed. That he'll be operative for a number of years prior to his visible apocalypse to the world, according to Daniel. So he's operative. And that on that agenda, we have this overwhelming, counterfeit, satanically inspired, false signs, wonders, miracles, every sort of evil. That is, I believe, upon us and will even grow triple, quadruple, manifest as never before in human history, in even the days before us. But the event, the red horse, the event of great revolt before the apocalypse of Antichrist, that's what's next. And I believe that millions feel it. I believe that many believers know it. I believe that even the secular world understands. It's clear that underground, true Luciferians, they know that's their next step. They know that's their next step, and that the unleashing of hell's power and chaos into society and nations to collapse them. It's what they're looking for and what they're waiting for. They believe it's next even. Well, that's coming. Okay. Does that scare you? Does that push you into a corner? Does that move us to say, oh, Jesus, take us out of here? May God convict ungodly fear. God does not give fear. You read Timothy chapter 1. He is not the author of this kind of fear. He does not give us a spirit of fear, the Greek word cowardice, but instead gives us the spirit of power and of love and of a self-disciplined, of a controlled by the Holy Spirit life. That the events, hellish events, chaotic events, massive urgent news messages that are going on should not cause one real believer to tremble. Your redemption draws near. I believe that believers in Christ need to stand, and if you step out in faith to obedience to Jesus, letting the Spirit of God clothe you with a boldness that is unquenchable. You see, the early believers in the book of Acts, by Acts 5:42, here's what it says of them. They never stopped preaching and teaching that Jesus was the Christ. They were going from house to house in the temple courts. They didn't stop, and no one could stop them collectively. They grew, listen, Acts 9:22, Saul of Tarsus, now saved, now filled with the Spirit, now beginning to minister and preach Christ. As he began to grow, Acts 9:22 tells us, and it's true for all of us as believers, he grew more and more powerful. May God lead every believer that hears this, whether in China, whether in Russia, in and throughout the United States, South, listen, all over in these countries that are downloading. And by the way, welcome. And by the way, the prayers with this message come to you that the living Christ, where you are right now, his omniscient, unceasing, unbroken, uninterrupted presence in your life as a believer. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Remember, stand in faith concerning the word of God. Preach it to yourself if nobody else will. Stand in the blazing power of the Spirit of God in the compassionate, love-compelled mission to reach every human being. God is not willing, even if all hell is breaking out, God is not willing. Among the tsunami, 9/11, Katrina, among the oil spill, among Chernobyl, among any of it, God is not willing, beyond war, beyond politics, beyond environment, beyond economics, God is not willing that even one human being be lost. The power of the grace of Christ. Have you read this in 1 John 2? That Jesus Christ is the halosmas. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, but not only for our sins. Hanging on that cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The sum total of humanity. The worst of sinners, all of us as sinners. I'm just a sinner, saved by the grace of one who substituted his life for mine. May the Spirit of God breathe new life and strength and boldness into you. May you and I repent of all fear, of all of our apathy. May we take a look and see whether the world has enculturated us that we need to reject being conformed to the patterns of the world and be yielded and become a living sacrifice to God's mercy and grace. Romans 12. May we look to see if any of the old flesh we've given into, and even if we've been bound by it, may we repent now. Now, in the presence of Jesus. Where we've grieved the Spirit of God and quenched the fire of the power of the Holy Spirit, may we stop it. Christ Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever, every single day. You and I, right now, can come boldly before the throne of grace to receive. Well, renewal, mercy. Listen, if we are like Sardis, once dead, once alive, but now dead, we can come back. If we're like Laodicea, okay. But Jesus still offered them a way out. So the believer listening right now, maybe the spiritual leader listening right now, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, your Savior, alive inside of you, with you, and around you, operative, and will demonstrate his great power, grace, mercies, and miracles through you. That's how it's done. In the book of Acts, none of it was done but through the redeemed, obedient believer. Obedient believers draw closer experientially to Christ. Obedient believers become stronger. Obedient believers are able to weather the storms and fight in spiritual warfare. Obedient believers are more knowledgeable. Obedient believers will study prophetic revelation, all of Scripture, not just some of it. Obedient believers will not let the world and the flesh and even the devil have any kind of victory over them. Obedient believers. If we're living in the last of days as a believer in Christ, why do anything? Can I give you six quick reasons? Number one, God is at work even if you're not. If you've sidetracked yourself, shipwrecked your faith, shelved your ministry, your giftings, that's your doing. And at the judgment seat of Christ, you will give an account for the giftings, the workings, the evangelism, your life as a believer. Judgment begins at the house of God. Listen, number one, God is at work in the world. People are getting saved all over the world. Healings and deliverances and God's miracle. There's no difference. I don't care if all hell erupts. I don't care if Antichrist, when he comes, in no way negates the full force of Christ and all of his power through faith-filled, obedient believers. God is at work. Whether you're doing any work or not, God is at work. Whether you are or not, God is at work. Number one, why do anything? God is at work to the very end. Number two, you are under his lordship, are you not? Jesus said, why call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things I say? Listen, if you're saved, born of the Spirit of God, you're under the lordship of Christ. Obedience, Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me. Christian, in obedience to Christ, you will grow stronger and stronger, more able, and just by that obedience, you will step into ministry. Quit listening to the world, past failures, backslidden, hypocritical other believers. Quit listening to the arrows sent by the enemy and listen to your Savior. Get up, take up the cross, deny self, follow me. As the Father sent me, so I send you. Go make disciples. Preach the gospel to every creature. Highways, byways. Are you under the lordship of Jesus? Proof of that is whether you're obedient to the word of God. If you're obedient, you will move into all. You will grow stronger. You will become unstoppable. Number three, you are under the commission. God commissioned the body of Christ to go into all the world, make disciples, baptize them, and then teach them everything. We are under the great mission of God. We can see the mission of the devil. We can see through biblical revelation what the enemy's going to do. The next big event that brings down the last 7 years is the hellish chaos. That's coming. I believe in my lifetime. I don't know if it's 2 years away or 10 years away. I just don't know. But I know that we live in a hellishness of a world. But in America, where I am at, I can go out tonight and share Jesus on the streets. I can go out tonight at a ball field. I can call somebody and visit them. I can go door to door. Do you realize how much freedom we still have? What are you doing with it? Ephesians chapter 5, we are to make the most of every opportunity. Literally, redeem the time. Apathy's out. Laziness out. Fear out. Number four, we have been promised to be clothed with power from on high, for the sake of the redemption of the nations, Luke 24. We've been told that we would receive power, and when the power of the God, the Holy Spirit, would come on us, we would be witnesses of Christ. We have been given the authority of Christ to trample the demons, to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm us. So every believer saved, born the Spirit, clothed in the power of the Spirit of God, has been given the authority of Christ. Luke 10, accept it, use it. Don't neglect so great a weaponry of God. Only the authority of Christ can expose and oust and kick out and expel the demons in lives. We can use that authority in intercessory prayer and praying in our cities and around our churches. We can just unleash prayer by the authority of Christ, rebuking the dark powers. We've been given power. We've been given authority. We've been given the armor of God. We've been given the pledge. Jesus, listen now, I will be with you always to the end of the age. Right now, he's with me. He's all over me. I feel his presence. All that he is, all that he says, all that he does can be operative through my life if I step out in obedience. Obedient believers were the safest of believers. Obedient believers were the most fruitful. Obedient believers, more people got saved. More demonstrative, powerful answers to prayer. More sign and wonder and extraordinary work of God. More healings and more deliverances. More defeat of the devil occurred through obedient believers. We've been given the power to do so. Number five. You hear me now. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God, not just my voice, is saying. Do it now, do it always, do it to the end. I'm talking about the mission of God. The blazing, radiant, beautiful love of Christ coming through Spirit-filled believers throughout the book of Acts is what you and I could be right now. It's not about thinking about it for tomorrow. Even though I will track what the enemy's doing, even though I will be alert concerning the enemy, even though I will counter-infiltrate underground things, even though I will bring out exposure to the enemy's work, Ephesians 5, and you can't expose what you don't know. And so I refuse to cover my eyes and close my ears like a fearful little monkey sitting in a corner, see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. I renounce being enculturated by the world, forged by the flesh, and guided by the dark powers. I am a believer in Christ. You are a believer in the living Christ. Right now, He reigns in your life. Do you give Him total room? How's your obedience? Do you believe Him? You know what? You'll never go any further than you believe. You'll never pray any more than you believe. You'll never step out any more than you believe. Do you believe your Savior? Take His word. Preach it to yourself. Step out in faith on it and watch God work in you and through you. Do it now. Do not put it off again. Repent of procrastination. Do it now. That's what they did in the book of Acts. Do it always. That's what they did in the book of Acts. 542, they never stopped. And then do it to the very end. All those disciples in the book of Acts did. And God operated powerfully the same and even more so all the way to the end. God's presence, power, fruitfulness should not fade as you get older. It should grow. Like Barnabas, a seasoned man of God who is full of the Holy Spirit in the static, constant sense. The hand of the Lord was with him, and a great number of people came to Christ because of his life. Do you have any fruit? Are you bearing any fruit? You can. John's Gospel 15, Jesus Christ said, "You have been chosen to bear fruit." As a matter of fact, those that don't, literally, Jesus is showing, what good is that? Don't end your life in Christ at the end of this age with regret, with shameful silence. Do not be like Sardis, once alive but becoming dead. Instead, remember what you have received. Remember what God has said. Repent now and put it back into practice. And watch your Savior pack your life and use your life. You must. You must. Now, always, to the end. And number 6. In the face of darkness, decide it now. I think this is the book of Philippians. Read it again and again and again. Paul writing from a dirty, musty, probably a hungry belly, uncomfortable, in a Roman prison. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Forgetting the things of the past, pressing on, take holding a hold of what Christ has taken hold of you for. Moving forward. Becoming those luminaries, bearing the word of life to the world, not showing an ounce of fear, as a testimony even to the most antagonistic, angry individuals or demonized enemies, you stand. Like Stephen, if you ever faced that issue, the Spirit of God and glory will be on you, and your face may shine like that of an angel, and the witness may be so powerful. As Stephen saw Christ at the right hand of majesty in the last moments of his life, was he screaming and crying about the stones he was being hit with, or was he declaring his focus, his vision, his Jesus? In the hellishness of life, personally, culturally, globally, the end of days. Yes, yes, yes. All of hell unprecedented. All of heaven unprecedented. All of Christ unprecedented. All of God's work unequaled, unfading, fully here. Do it now, do it always. Number six, in the face of darkness, the darker it gets, the bolder you and I must become. It is an urgent hour. And what is needed on the field of ministry is believers that can wipe away the junk of the past, the issues, that can forsake the world, the flesh, and the devil, focus on Christ. Yes, use prophetic revelation. Tell the world all hell is about to break loose. Get saved. All hell's about to break up. If you help people pack food for 6 months, but let them die and go to hell, what good is that really? May the grace, mercy, presence, power, the glories of the living Christ be upon you, urge you, guide you in these days. If it is the last days, and it is, why do anything? Can I say it again just quickly? Number one, God is at work. Number two, you're under the lordship of Christ. Number three, you're under His mission and His focus. Number four, with power, authority, armor, the living Christ's presence. Number five, do it now, do it always, do it to the end. Number six, even in the face of incredible darkness, the light of the living Christ and all that He is, all that He says, all that He does can come shining through your life. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web.